Lecture 3, Morton Deutsch and the Concept of Win-Win.
As we saw in Lecture 2, the adversary system invented by the ancient Greeks really did mark an enormous advance in humans' ability to deal with conflict. It substituted verbal combat for physical combat, made it a lot less costly and a lot less dangerous. But we also saw that underlying assumption that conflict is a competitive situation in which in order for somebody to win, somebody else has to lose, that assumption stood for 2.5 millennia. It stood until it was seriously questioned in 1948 by a graduate student named Morton Deutsch. And Deutsch went ahead to seriously study that question, and he's the person who gave us the concept of win-win, the idea that in a conflict, yes, most of the time we really can both win. So what we want to do in this lecture is to discuss Morton Deutsch's research and that great discovery of win-win, because that leads the way for the rest of what we're going to talk about in this course. So much research from there forward was about helping understand better how we can communicate and how we can do what we need to do in order to achieve true win-win solutions when we're in conflict. So let's talk about Morton Deutsch's great discovery. First, we need to go back and think about a little bit about how they advanced the adversary system and made it less harmful without necessarily getting at that underlying assumption. There were a lot of these, but I just want to give you several kind of examples from history. In Western civilization, which is the civilization that I know best, so these examples come from the West, there are a number of interesting ones. One that's fascinating to me is that as a matter of this 30 years' war that occurred in the 17th century, Europeans sort of figured out that it might be better to tolerate religious differences, differences over matters of theology, than to fight and kill each other over them. So they developed and began to understand the idea of tolerating difference. But that didn't really question the underlying assumption of competitiveness in the conflict. There's another one, a century later, which was called the Age of Reason in the West, the 18th century. It's interesting to watch how nations fought wars with one another. They weren't so much into fighting wars to the death, to the destruction of the other nation. What they did was sort of rationally do a serious fight to the point where they had tested one another's strength, and they could pretty well project how this was going to come out and who had the advantage. That was enough destruction, and once they had done that amount of fighting, they sat down and did the verbal discussion and negotiated a solution based on the outcomes of those initial fights without having to destroy one nation or the other. Much better than mutual destruction or one trying to destroy the other. But that assumption that conflict is competitive just stuck. That didn't challenge the assumption of competitiveness. It was only in the mid-20th century when that assumption got seriously challenged. So let's talk about that. What happened was this. The discovery actually arose in the context of a number of social scientists trying to study how humans interact in groups. Now, the lead scholar in that work was a very important psychologist named Kurt Lewin. Kurt Lewin is the person who developed for us a theory of human motivation that really has served as a foundation for a whole lot of understanding of human motivation in general and human behavior in conflict very specifically. The key concept there, the idea of interdependence, really flows from this idea that Lewin had about how people behave and why they behave. He called it field theory. And field theory leads us to see the interdependence that's there in humans, in the way we operate. And remember that term interdependence was right in our definition of conflict from the beginning. The way field theory works is this. We just conceptualize human motivation as follows. We see ourselves as being in a kind of field, or what Lewin called a space. Some have called it a life space together. And other people are also in that field. And our motivation can be thought of as we're moved to get across the field to a destination on the other side. And the other people there can either help us and be allies in that effort or serve as obstacles in that effort. And the way we interact with other people depends on whether we see them as allies or obstacles in the pursuit of our goal, which is to get across. That's a nice basic way to think about human motivation and how humans operate when we're functioning in groups. So that's the basic theory that was in play, that people were doing a number of scientific studies to try and figure out better how things worked. That's the context. Well, one graduate student working with Lewin was Morton Deutsch. Deutsch, when it came to the point where he was going to do his doctoral dissertation, really wanted to zero in on conflict among group members. As he worked with it, his initial definition of a conflict was this. He said a conflict is a condition that exists when person A makes a move that makes it harder for person B to reach his goal. Now, that notion of goals and tying it to what we're doing in conflict gets carried through a great many. Most researchers of conflict management since have done the same kind of thing. They draw upon that basic sense of field theory, getting through the notion of being motivated by goals, and think of conflict in terms of we might be getting in the way of one another's goals. So it was there. It was there in the Hocker and Wilmot definition that we provided for conflict in Lecture 1. So he's doing that. But then Deutsch began to look a little more seriously at what's going on here, and he noticed this aspect of goals and opposition and conflict in groups. He noticed that what appeared to be going on was that these group members would become obstacles to one another, not so much in reaching separate goals, because the groups they were studying were what you call task-oriented groups. They had shared goals. And Deutsch noticed that they seemed to have a lot, maybe even most conflict, over how to achieve their shared goals rather than conflict that arises from being in each other's way in reaching individuals' goals. It's a basic insight into how we're operating in groups. So in that sense, he was even thinking that maybe conflict could be beneficial. It could be an aid to these groups, to the group as a whole, in finding better ways to reach their shared goals. That led him to think more carefully about the nature of conflict. So now here he is working with this. In these studies that they were doing under Lewin, for the most part, they were working and building their experiments using what's called game theory. There is, by the way, a wonderful course offered by the teaching company by Professor Scott Stevens that's really a course on game theory. So they were working with that. In game theory, what happens is we treat life situations as if they're games in which individuals are trying to win. And then we set up these games and we see how that's going to work out. The classic game in game theory is a game called The Prisoner's Dilemma, in which the players in the game are being interrogated. They're prisoners, they're being interrogated. And they have to decide whether they want to cooperate with the interrogator or confess to having escaped. They can cooperate or they can cheat. Points get awarded. And what happens is you get the most points if you cheat and the other person cooperates, and the least points if you cooperate and the other person cheats. But if both of you cooperate, the two of you together end up getting more points. That's the basic pattern. So people are always assuming that they're competing with the other. The highest reward comes if you cheat and the opponent cooperates. But there's a lesser reward the way the game is set up if we both cooperate. So, you know, you might think about people in conflict, and we tend to say, well, sure, I'm a cooperative person. I try to do that. But if you translate our conflict situations and think about our real life situations, the fact is that we usually tend to compete. That's the first impulse, and it goes with that assumption that was there. If you think back to lecture number one, and we have our married couple, Ken and Kate, in an argument over Ken's idea of taking a job out west, or the roommates who are at odds over noise in the apartment, in another example, in those situations, the tendency would be to compete first. It's that sense of opposition that I talked about when I talked about those basic elements that are present in a conflict. But what Deutsch noticed was that this assumption of competitive seemed to be an assumption. It may not be so competitive. And he wondered whether it always applied or how often, what percentage of the time it really applied. How many occasions might it be that the assumption should be the other way around, that we should work cooperatively? So he moved forward in his thinking that way. And then he defined two kinds of conflict. He defined what he called competitive conflict as a competition in which it requires someone to lose in order for the other to win. It's a situation in which you can have nobody wins and nobody loses, such as a tie, but a situation that in order to get a winner requires a loser. And then he defined what he called a pure conflict. And in a pure conflict, he said, that would be a situation in which both parties could actually fully win. Let me give you an example of a pure conflict, what that would look like. Let's think about football. Let's do it American football in this instance. And if you picture a scene and a situation in a game where there are only 2 seconds left on the clock, the home team in this game is behind by 1 point, and the home team has the ball on the opponent's 30-yard line. They're in range to score. And there are two ways to score. They might kick a field goal, or they might throw a pass to the end zone and try to score on that. Close call at the 30-yard line. It's long for a field goal. It's also long for a pass. And in this situation, let's suppose that the head coach and the offensive coordinator, the coach who coaches the offense and usually calls the plays, have a disagreement over what kind of play to call. Should we try a field goal here, or should we try a pass? And they're arguing on the sideline. They've called timeout, and they're arguing on that. So we have a conflict between these two coaches. That, in Deutsch's terms, is absolutely a pure conflict. These guys both have the same goal. The goal is to win the game. Each of these two, if they're sensible coaches at all, would much rather be wrong and win the game than right and lose the game. So they've each got the same goal. They're either going to win together or they're going to lose together. That is what Deutsch would call a classic pure conflict. Now, the possible outcomes in conflicts might be viewed as win-lose, that's competitive, no win, no lose, that's compromise or a tie, that's still competitive. I want you to see that. Compromise is still assuming it's competitive. You could have a lose-lose. That happens in conflicts where nobody wins, whether it's competitive or not. And then you have the possibility of a win-win, what Deutsch called pure conflict, both parties truly winning. So it's Morton Deutsch who's going to give us this term. What Deutsch found when he set up his own studies and began to see how this worked in groups when they had conflict is that most of the time, the conflict really was a pure conflict, hence the pursuit of win-win. So it's Morton Deutsch who gives us this term. And what he means is not just we can negotiate and nobody has to lose. He means that most of the time, both parties in a conflict can actually win. So let's take a moment to think about any conflict you've witnessed or engaged in recently. Do you think the parties involved in that conflict automatically saw it as purely competitive or even basically competitive? Or did they at first see it as a pure conflict, the way Deutsch showed us was actually possible? Most of the time, we think competitive first. We go with that impulse that it's an oppositional situation. Now, one of the major goals of this course is to help us identify when conflicts are pure and to teach us to seek resolutions that are win-win solutions, true win-win solutions, not just compromises, and not to compete and require somebody to lose when we have to. Because that's where the research has driven us, and we really do have better ways to do that. So, building on this concept, where did Deutsch go in his career? You know what? That was a wonderful discovery initially, a very important doctoral dissertation that he did, and he spent the rest of his academic career doing research on conflict management and helping us understand better how and when we can achieve win-win solutions. As I said, that's going to be our focus in this course as well. And that was the focus of most of the research that followed. So that's why we call Morton Deutsch the father of the modern study of conflict management, because he gave us this basic concept, and the rest of us looking at it have been following that path of trying to better understand and better show how we can get win-win resolutions, the preferred outcome in most conflicts. It's the cornerstone idea for this course that we're going to follow, and because it's the cornerstone idea of the research that's followed Morton Deutsch. That breakthrough of his was arguably the greatest single advance in conflict management since the adversary system 2,500 years earlier. That term, win-win, really did enter common parlance. You hear it all over the place, and it's often used by persons who don't have any understanding of what it means or whose understanding is vague and really not clear. So I'm going to try to make sure in this course that you really do understand it and that you see it repeatedly as we go along and that you can apply it to get the gains that can come from doing that. Okay. What are the practical lessons we can learn directly from Morton Deutsch even before we get to the additional research that comes? The first one is this. Whenever we encounter a conflict with someone we care about, have to work with, might have shared goals with, what it might be a very good idea to do is really try to communicate and understand one another in terms of those goals so we can identify the shared goals and what we have in common or the goals that each has that we could help each other with. That's drawing on that basic understanding of interdependence, field theory that comes from Kurt Lewin, and the idea of win-win that's coming from Morton Deutsch. Secondly, it suggests that what we ought to be doing is learning to treat conflicts as problems or challenges that we can work on together with the person we feel we're in conflict with and trying to achieve a solution for both parties. That's the way we ought to frame what's going on in our minds and work to achieve a true win-win resolution. So I'm going to offer you a lot of advice and specific steps and suggestions over the rest of this course on how to do that. But Deutsch shows us that's what we ought to be trying to do. So unless we really don't care about the other party, don't mind risking losing, it would be a mistake to do combat verbally or game it, or really trying to win at the other party's expense. At least as a first option, that's not where we should go. And it would equally be a mistake to immediately resort to trying to figure out compromise, where I'm going to give up something and you're going to give up something. We shouldn't be chasing no win, no lose, when we could be chasing a win-win. That's a direct lesson that we can draw right away from what Deutsch taught us all those years ago. And compromise is not a win-win resolution. We'll discuss compromise in some later lectures, especially in Lecture 9, when we talk about it as a strategy. Okay, now, as we all know, that old assumption of competitiveness really does still linger. Here we are in a course talking about it. There it is in books, even though Deutsch learned it a long time ago. We often see potential win-win situations the same way those game theorists saw them. Maybe we have chances for moderate shared gains versus the greater individual gains. But what Deutsch showed us that breaks through that assumption in game theory is that what we often have is the possibility for greater gains for both of us, not just moderate gains versus greater gains for the one individual. Why haven't we gotten this? Well, some of it is just that it takes time to learn, for information, for new knowledge to disseminate through a culture. But we're also up against some things. There's the weight of the existing culture. There are the mass media portrayals of conflict and how they work out that give us the narratives that we all learn from and that reinforce them. There's the powerful early learning that moves us toward how we're seeing conflict. Remember, we learn conflict starting when we're very, very young. So our learning about it comes very, very early. So over the years since Deutsch made this discovery, we've been very slow in picking up on the idea of what a true win-win means. I remember seeing the term a great deal as we studied these things in the 1970s when I began to do my own work looking at conflict management. But at the same time, as time went on, you would see things like self-help books and others that really carried through and presented advice on the assumption that the conflict was really competitive. One of the ones that I used to cite very often back then, carrying this through in the 80s, was a book by George Robert Bach called The Intimate Enemy, How to Fight Fair in Love and Marriage. Now notice what's in that. It's in that title, and it was resonant. That book sold very well. It resonated with people. Seeing the person up close is an enemy. The idea of fighting fair is still the idea of fighting. So that assumption of competitiveness is still there. Now, there was some good advice in Buck's book about not doing damage to one another, and even some notion of win-win, but not the real notion of win-win, because it was still fighting. It was about fighting fair. It wasn't about collaborating, working together to get a true win-win. So here we are today. It's more than half a century later. Deutsch's discovery of win-win was made all that time ago, and to a great extent, it hasn't penetrated society. But it also was limited in what it could do. What are some catches with this that we've learned in the research since? One thing is that, you know, humans are much more complicated than Lewin's theory or Deutsch's concept of win-win really fully recognized back then. We're complicated beings. So what happens often is we might try for a win-win and find that we're just not on the same page with one another, that our views about what's going on in this conflict really may differ considerably. We're just not on the same page. You think you're fighting one conflict, I think I'm fighting another, and this thing isn't working out, even if we think we're trying to work together. We're going to actually spend a lot of time in this course unpacking how those differences happen and how we can do better with getting on the same page. And there's a lot to sort through to get at the root of conflict and the way this stuff works. You know, we don't just go through life pursuing conscious goals. And this is another area where we've discovered difference from what Deutsch found. It turns out that the goals we have are not just one goal, one shared goal, but each of us in any given situation has multiple complex goals, some of which we're fully conscious of and some we're not conscious of. And these goals may even be in conflict with one another as we proceed. We might, on the one hand, in a relationship, have goals that involve wanting to receive affection and feel included and belonging. And on the other hand, we might have a goal to feel independence and want to know ourselves. So there's a challenge here. We can have goals even that are in conflict with one another. How are we going to sort that out? It's not just as simple as, oh, well, you have this goal and I have this goal. Let's pursue them together. We're just more complex than that. So the result of these kinds of things, the greater complexity is that we can be making good efforts to follow Deutsch's advice and pursue a win-win, and the efforts can easily go awry because of the complexities if we're not really aware of them and we haven't got them well sorted out. There's one last, perhaps greatest limitation. This one works this way. I've mentioned already that we learn about conflict management early in life. We come to the table now, all of us, you with this course, I still as I study it and learn it, we come to the place where we're trying to learn better ways to handle conflict management. Not a blank slate to write on, open mind, I just don't know this subject, so teach me. We come to it with an already set of lessons well in place. They're powerfully drilled in. We learned them as little kids. We learned them as toddlers. We strengthened them as we grew up. And those are the lessons we've already learned, and we've got them built in like default strategies. It's how we go about resolving conflict, and it's what we think conflict is. And we don't even think anymore that, okay, this is a conflict. My concept of conflict is this. It's built in. We think that's just the way it is because this is the stuff we learned early. So we're not writing on a blank slate. We're trying to write over that early learning, and that's an exceptionally difficult thing for humans to do. We're not learning something that's just new. What we have to do here is unlearn those old lessons. So most of us are familiar with the term win-win, sure, but we don't necessarily get what win-win is all about. The term is known the world over. It struck me that when the new extension of the START Treaty was negotiated between the American President Obama and the Russian President Medvedev. Medvedev said, this is a win-win. And I wondered, I don't know, it's possible that the man really understands this concept fully. It's in all of our lexicons. But I watched him say that and listened and mused. I wonder if he understands what he really said there. So it's world over, but it's really not fully penetrated. One indication of that lack of full penetration came to me in some research done by a wonderful sociologist named Calvin Morrill, who's at University of California at Berkeley these days. And Cal Morrill got himself a grant to study how top executives in large organizations handle conflict when it comes up. And he was able to spend a whole year just shadowing. There were seven different ones in seven different large organizations, different kinds of organizations. And he spent a whole year, literally with permission, just going with them and shadowing what they did and how they handled things and writing things down. And at times he was able to interview them. So he just tracked how these seven executives handled conflict when it came up. The result was a very interesting book entitled The Executive Way. And what he found was that these guys understood the term was a nice idea for win-win. They would talk about achieving win-win resolutions. They could all use the term. But in fact, when conflict came up, the predominant, almost exclusive strategy that all these top executives used involved getting in and competing with one another. Now, the kinds of competition differed. Sometimes it was hostile competition. Sometimes they went after it with joy and gusto, like it was a competitive game being played. Sometimes it was played with a great deal of respect for the other party that was mutual. But it was still a competitive game being played to win or lose. That may have been what they learned and what worked coming up. It may be how you get to be a top executive. But losing isn't any fun. Winning is more fun. Success is better than losing. And it turns out that these guys, the executive way, as he called it, was to go ahead and compete. Now, these are six-figure and more salaried people. And what they're doing is competing. So it hasn't really penetrated. And there are costs for that, which we'll find out, to themselves and the organization. One other thing I want to point out here. I'm going to emphasize the research aspect. I've talked about that, talking about Morton Deutsch and this discovery. And it's something we want to do in these lectures and in this course steadily. It relates to that problem of really getting this knowledge disseminated and getting us to accept these new ideas and understand that they really carry weight. I want you to know where the ideas came from. And I want to do that not just to credit people who gave us important insights and new knowledge, which we really ought to do anyway. But I want you to understand that these are not just glib, somebody's new ideas here, resolve conflict this way, as you might find in an easy self-help book. But what we'll talk about in this course are the results of serious research on how to handle conflict better that grows from that discovery that Morton Deutsch made about the possibility of win-win. We're going to build on Deutsch's breakthrough all the way through the rest of this course in order to get to better ways to resolve conflict. Okay, let's summarize then. What have we learned here about Morton Deutsch? First thing we need to note and repeat, Deutsch is the father of modern conflict resolution research, modern conflict management research, because he's the guy who showed us that conflict need not be treated as competitive, that both sides can really have a win-win. Secondly, that understanding constituted a fundamental breakthrough, and it opens up a whole new world of possibilities for how we can get better at resolving conflict. Third, by itself, this discovery helps us deal better with a lot of conflicts. It's an insight that helps all by itself, but its utility is limited unless we can learn a whole lot more. So then we're going to move to subsequent research that's going to begin to fill in those useful details that we need in order to get better and better and better at finding win-win resolutions. Now, we're each going to need to work. I still do, after years and years and years of teaching and working with this. We're each going to have to work as we do this with replacing those old lessons, those early lessons that we learned about conflict and new understanding. We're going to keep pushing back against those. That's not going to be an easy thing to do, but it really does help, as I say, to have some sense of the depth of the research and the important scholarship that really points us in these directions. So that's our lecture about Morton Deutsch and win-win. I've got an assignment for you coming out of that lecture. What I want to strongly suggest that you do is to try to work past that slogan idea of win-win and get to where you can think and act in terms of what that concept really means. I want you to get started doing this by going back and trying to remember the last two or three times you heard that term used, the term win-win. When you do that, I want you to consider whether the person using it probably really understood what it meant and used it accurately, or just used it glibly as a phrase tossed off the cuff. If the term was used at less than full strength, what would have been the difference? Ask yourself that. What would have been the difference if both parties really fully understood the concept and sought to accomplish it? Could they have achieved a better win-win resolution? Okay, that's your assignment. Where are we going to go from here? Well, Deutsch's breakthrough, as I say, launched the modern study of conflict management. We're going to proceed into that modern study of conflict management. What we're going to do is we're going to have to focus next on the insights that those researchers following up on Deutsch's discovery began to learn about the nature of conflict and what's going on in a conflict. An important place to start with that, which will be the subject of our next lecture, is with the perceptions that people have, with the understanding that conflict results not directly from the difference that I may have with another person, but from the perception of difference that I have with that other person. With the recognition that those perceptions can differ greatly depending on where we stand, the perspective from which we look at it. So, perception in conflict is the subject of Lecture 4.